Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in.
FBI stopped a potential terrorist plot right here in Michigan that was to take place over this Halloween weekend. Now, multiple agents made their way by the FBI and the state police. They were in Dearborn and Inkster this morning, assisting apparently in arrests. And we know that multiple arrests have been made by the FBI at multiple homes this morning.
Terror on what has become one of America's favorite holidays. Halloween. Here's what we know. Four senior law enforcement officials familiar with the case told NBC News the FBI in Detroit apprehended a group of young individuals who were plotting some form of attack with a possible reference to Halloween. Those officials say the group was tied to foreign extremism, but did not say if it was ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or something else. We know the raid was carried out in Dearborn, an inner-ring suburb just outside the city of Detroit. Dearborn has the largest Muslim population per capita in the United States, with recent surveys indicating approximately 55% of its residents identify as Arab or North African, predominantly Muslim. Officials did say there is no current threat to the public. So we're safe, at least from that plot. But there are other things to be concerned about on a Halloween Friday, too. Here's WWJ with more.
Sheriff, is there a database where parents can actually go to check this before heading out into the neighborhood?
Yes, the SARS database is the Sex Offender Registry. Actually, it was created, as you know, I've been in law enforcement a long time. But in the middle of my career, I was a state senator, and I actually wrote the Sex Offender Registry Act. And it allows people to go and look on that website for people that live in their neighborhood or live in the area where they may be, if you're a single woman, jogging, for convicted sex offenders. And so we encourage people to look at that list regularly, but especially before kids go out for Halloween. I wouldn't suggest they not go to a house that has a convicted sex offender at it for candy or any kind of Halloween activity.
So how much of a concern is it for you and your department?
Well, we know statistically that sex offenders, especially sex offenders, pedophiles of young children, are very recidivist prone. They have a high recidivism rate. So it's a big concern that any opportunity for someone that's a pedophile to be around in the proximity to try to lure or attract a child is a concern. So that's why we encourage information is power. Power allows you to make decisions about where you or your kids go on trick-or-treating night or any night for that matter.
You know, speaking of safety on Halloween, how much more safety concern is there when Halloween falls on a Friday compared to the middle of the week?
Well, for me, it also brings in the traffic concerns and other kinds of things. You know, a lot more activities going on a Friday night than a weeknight. And one of the biggest concerns about Halloween, especially if it's not a full moon night and a lot of ambient light, is these costumes sometimes are dark and they're not reflective. And with a mask, it reduces their visibility. So one of the concerns is traffic accidents, a kid getting hit by the car if they dart across the street to go to the other side of the block to trick or treat. So that's another thing we encourage parents to do is, you know, monitor their kids, talk to their kids, put reflective tape on their backs and try to limit the visibility obstruction that happens from a mask. Carry flashlights so they're visible as they're walking. Keep a cell phone with you. Do, you know, some common sense safety tips.
You know, we've had a couple of stories this week kind of warning parents to always check their kids' candy because there could be some drugs that are put in the candy and, you know, just be aware of all of that. But, you know, how often do you actually see that happen where someone might look into the candy they've been given out and it turns out to be something like that?
We don't see it a lot, but, you know, one time can be very bad. So actually, there was a recent case in Oakland County where they found some candy that they believe was adulterated with some drugs or had some, you know, potential gummies mixed into it. So it's something you need to stay tuned to. You need to be aware of what we suggest. And I suggest, I used to do this when I was, a person with young kids. My wife and I would, you know, go with our kids. And when we got home, we'd have them dump everything out. and make it a fun thing for them. Let them sort it on the floor and say, geez, I got 3 Reese's Pieces and I got, you know, 2 Snickers, and let them sort it out and count it. And it's kind of a fun thing, but that allows you as the parent to look at every piece of candy, every packaging, make sure it's not been tampered with, open, no homemade food is in there. Just kind of give it a good look over. And if you want, and I used to do this, you can give them a government lesson and say, okay, now the government's here. You went out and did all the work to collect the candy. I'm going to take a 15% tax on those sticker bars.
You got to take the dad tax.
Yeah, exactly.
Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard joining us on WWJ.
What happens when Halloween falls on a Friday and so does a high school championship game in one small town? They decide to move All Hallows Eve to a more convenient day. Here's more.
The City Commission recently at their past meeting made a decision to change the date of Halloween from Friday night to the next night, Saturday night. That type of activity has occurred before whenever the local football team has been involved in the state playoffs. I don't recall the exact date the last time it occurred, but it has occurred before, and obviously this isn't a mandate, but it gives the people an opportunity to both trick-or-treat one day or both days, or attend the football game and then enjoy the next night with the kids that could have went trick-or-treating but were involved in the football game. Marine City is a big football town, especially local high school football, the big supporters. So this is an event to try to support the local team, but also make sure they don't miss out on the event of Halloween.
Just love your sports at that high school.
They really do. They're very supportive of the local high school. You'll see it's like a Friday Night Lights event. The whole town turns out for these events to cheer on their local team. And obviously, people have a choice. They can do Friday night. They could do Saturday night. They could do both nights. In the past, when they did move it, it actually rained torrential rains on Friday night, so Saturday night turned out to be a better option. But we would encourage people to make their own decisions, but for this purpose, we're supporting our local football team.
I've seen a lot of comments, obviously, from both sides, people who, you know, support it, people who don't like it, people who say, well, I'm just going to hand out candy both nights. What would you say to those people who are really just against moving Halloween?
What I would suggest to them is celebrate on Friday night. It's not something that's mandatory or, you know, under the color of law. It's an option. And we're trying to make that option available. I think it benefits the both sides. If one side wants to be traditional and have it on Friday night, that's great. Appreciate it. Hand out candy. The same thing for the people on Saturday. Find hand out candy. There will be some family members that will go both Friday and Saturday. Kudos to them as well. It's a choice. But we are trying to it is a football town, and the town tends to empty out when the games are on so they can attend. We're trying to honor that and support our local team.
And if we're talking specifically about the football team, it's probably good for the school and the city, too. Obviously, you have Clawson coming. It's going to be Clawson parents, Clawson students. Concessions are going to be open. Talk about what this, what at least monetary thing this does for the school.
Well, obviously, for all schools, playoffs are always the goal, right? And then how far they can advance in the playoffs. So we're ardent supporters of the local football team, and we hope they go very far in the playoffs this year. They've had a great season, and it means a lot to the town. All these kids are live in this area, the city, or the adjoining areas, and it's an important process in their community in mind. These people think football really 12 months a year. So if they're not playing in games, they're not in the playoffs, they're preparing for the next season.
Choosing football over candy, at least on Friday, that's a decision everyone is free to make for themselves. But here's one that can bring judgment from everyone around you. How old is too old to trick or treat? Join the discussion on the Mark Cox Show.
Well, I will steal lots of children's candy tonight from my own grandkids, by the way. Let me be clear about that. I'm not going to run down the street and snag candy out of the bags of children.
It'd be better if you did.
But I've already cleared it with my grandson. I'm like, can your papa have some of your candy tonight? And he seemed okay with that. He looked at me at first, and then he seemed okay with that. So we're fine. It's all going to be good. It's going to be decent weather, so the kids aren't dying in those thick costumes. Remember in back in the day when they parents would, yeah, you make your own costume, right? You wrap yourself in a sheet and you're a ghost, and then you're shivering out there because all you wore was a T-shirt under it, and nobody warned you it was going to be 40 degrees before the night was over. Those were the days, weren't they? We would just leave. I don't know about you, Scott. We would leave. I lived in a fairly rural street during my formative years, from probably second grade up until sixth grade. And when we would go trick or treating, we had to make about a mile and a half loop, probably, with this big road that went in a big, so almost in a square, but it was long, and the houses were spread out. So we would have to go, we'd have to pretty much run as a kid. You know, you're excited to get to the next house. You'd run from house to house. But the parents had no idea what the hell we were. This is so different than it would like you. Yeah. Today, the thought, if you have a teenager, you're letting them go out by themselves tonight. But, I mean, I was 8, 9, 10 years old with a pack of kids. Just off we went. Mom and dad probably sitting home on the porch drinking a cocktail.
Right.
You know, handing out candy.
I remember being driven to an area where the houses were close together. So that was one thing I recall. You know, I've noticed the age of some of the trick-or-treaters. I'm like, kid, you're a little old to be doing this, you know?
I had that thought the other day. I heard somebody talking about this, and I thought, how do I feel? Like, what's the age cutoff that you feel comfortable handing candy to a kid? If I see some kids that I know darn good and well are probably juniors in high school, sophomores, juniors, I'm thinking that's a little too old. Yeah. And then somebody put up a meme, which I thought kind of hit home, that said, listen, if a teenager's walking around your neighborhood getting candy, they're not out causing other problems or getting in some other mess. Yeah. So give them a piece of candy and just let them go on. Right?
I didn't think about it that way. That's good.
At least they're putting they're putting candy in their system and not weed or something like that. Well, they may do that later. I don't know. They may do that later. Who knows? But you can do that for them. That's fine.
That's the tangible. But it's Halloween, so let's also dive into the intangible. Here's Mark Cox with more.
So we were talking in the last segment. We were talking about scary movies and all that. It morphed into, you know, the spiritual world and all that. And I said, I think at the end of the time, like, science and the spiritual world are going to come together. And everybody will be like, oh, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not alone in that kind of theory.
Okay.
Vice President J.D. Vance weighed in on the mystery of UFOs this week, suggesting that some unexplained phenomena could reflect spiritual forces influencing the physical world.
Also, he kind of went the other direction. Things that people think might be UFOs are actually spiritual.
Yeah.
As opposed to the people who think the long ago spiritual things really were just UFOs.
Right.
Interesting.
Speaking with New York Post columnist Miranda Devine on her podcast, Pod Force One, Vance said he hadn't had time to fully investigate, but intends to dig in. He said, I can't allow myself to become so busy that I don't get to the bottom of this. I will get to the bottom of it. He also mentioned that the topic often came up in conversations with Secretary of State Marco Rubio.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Who might have inherited his ears, actually, from Spock. Just kidding, Marco. I mean, Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Secretary.
Noting that both men have long shared an interest in unidentified anomalous phenomena. That's what they call them now. UAPs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yap.
Now, I do remember a story when I was a kid because I had family still living in Houston, Texas. And my grandmother, who was, you know, strong Christian woman, she tells the story of seeing what, to her, was a UFO in Houston, kind of an orb-like thing. It was orange, and it was flying, and so who knows what it was. But
just to get back to what I said earlier, I said, you know, like, historically, those could have been UFOs, but what I mean by that is not to take away from the spiritual entity.
Sure.
In other words, they were angels, quote unquote, maybe, say, coming down, Gabriel, or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they talk about fire or this bright light or all that, that may have been maybe a mechanism in which they
wheel in a wheel travel. Kind of thing, flying. Yeah.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Here's Tara Servatius at Word Radio with more on the otherworldly.
Talking about scary stories, I've done these call-ins on and off on Halloween, and we get some really cool stories sometimes. This is one that was texted into the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Hey, Darren, we had an old farmhouse that was built in the 1800s. It always had a weird feeling in the house. We'd feel a coldness go through us at times that took our breath away. One night, while laying in bed, we heard all the cabinets slamming. We thought maybe it was our cat. Well, the cat was in bed with us. We went downstairs to see that all of the cabinets and drawers were open. Then the cat went to an empty or what appeared to be an empty corner and started hissing, and all her hair was standing straight up. We then had our house anointed with oil ever since, window and door, and hung crosses in literally every room. Also, that house was in Chicago. That alone was scary enough. Yeah, well, you do live in Chicago. That's very scary. Yeah, no, so once you did that, once you anointed it and hung up the crosses, did it stop? I hate when people leave me hanging. Or did it ever happen again? Love to hear your scary story. Texter writes, my mother died in our house, and I was not there when she died or able to say goodbye as I was in the military. I came home for the funeral, and I was asleep in my room. I felt pressure on my legs and woke up. There was a black shadow at the end of my bed. I truly believe that was my mother coming back to say goodbye. Oh. Texter writes, is this an extended version of Coast to Coast AM? No, this is Halloween. We're having a little bit of fun. Texter writes, someone needs to remind him it's an induced coma. So funny. Texter writes, he meant well, he was sweet. Texter writes, there is zero. Okay, another subject. There is zero chance the Republicans will vote to nuke the filibuster. And even if they did, they would then be defectors against opening the government, the usual suspects. Yeah, you're right. There is a problem with having that filibuster vote. Texter writes, Tara, scary story. I had a dream one night that I was a Democrat. Oh, a lot of people having fun with the seduced coma. Texter writes, I fell into a seduced coma once. Slept like a baby. Okay, y'all. That's enough. All right. Coming up on the show. Oh, folks, the Democrats are now in the process of essentially shutting down the airports over this illegal immigrant funding, healthcare funding. And you know what? Even if we get this up and running, we got to do it again in 3 weeks. I don't know what holiday travel's like. Sharing scary stories today on the show. A clock my grandparents had stopped at the exact same time on my grandfather's death certificate. The crazy part is my grandpa died in Florida and the clock is in their house in Michigan, closed up for the winter. No one was there. My grandma never touched or changed the clock. Sharing scary stories today because it is Halloween. So give us a call. Try to keep it short if you don't mind. Give us a call, 800-905-0989, or if you don't have time to do that, shoot me a short text. Thomas in Pelzer has a scary story. Hey, Thomas.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I bought a church about 4.5 years ago that was built in the 1800s. And my girlfriend and I, Selena Weems, we were restoring it. And one of the congregation people came by and said, oh, I'm glad somebody's restoring this church. And they said, I got to tell you a story. And I thought, in 1960 or 59-60, they were all sitting in the congregation listening to the music. And there was this disruption in the back. And they had some swinging doors back there. And they looked back there and there was some boy dancing in the foyer area, stomping his shoes, and everybody turned around and looked, about 60 people, and he was dressed in the 1800s. He had knickers on and a hat, and he had this look on him. So the deacons went to get him, and he disappeared. And it was a good haunted, but I have heard my name called 2 or 3 times. I'd be working on the church. We won an award for restoring the church, historical work in South Carolina. But there's a good spirit in the church. Everybody that walks into the church loves the church, but there's a spirit in the church, so it's a good spirit. So that's short. I love your show.
Thanks. Right. Real quick, do you still have the church? Do you still own the church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we turned it into a wedding chapel called Libby Street Wedding Chapel, and we keep everything historic, and people come to the church, and we decorated it back in the 1800s, so it's just a beautiful church. And I have 1932 and a 32 Cadillac that the brides drive off, and everybody loves it. We try to keep it the old, old look.
Yeah. That's really cool. I love
beautiful old
stuff.
Church.
That's really, really cool. I used to renovate old houses because I just love old stuff. That
and
is.
Then we bought the
awesome.
House. We bought the house next door to us that was built in 1883, and it's haunted by two women that go up and down the steps late at night. It's really cool. It's not scary, but it is cool.
Hmm. So. That would I got to tell you. You said it's not scary. That would really creep me out. Texter writes, Tara, my dad was in the hospital for a heart condition, and this is the story my brother tells me as I am not there. My father was in bed and climbed out of bed as he saw a bright light. He went down the hall and the nurses stopped him. Thankfully, we had a few more months with him, but in the end, it is in God's hands. Okay. You know, his story reminds me of when my son, Crash, went through a phase where he absolutely loved black bears. So, of course, we went to Cades Cove. If you haven't been to Cades Cove, you need to go to Cades Cove. It is the coolest place, one of my favorite places to go. It's in the Tennessee section of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, right? So the bears are protected. They know they can't be shot. I don't know how they know, but it's like they know. So they just walk around like they own the place because they do. So people will drive through there to see the bears. This is great if you've got kids who love bears. They go through that bear phase. So you drive through there, right? And it's kind of like a big loop, and you drive around, you try to spot the bears. It's a lot of fun. Well, inside Cades Cove, it's also kind of almost like a living museum because there were settlers that really were pioneers, and they settled it. And if you go through there, they have the original cabins and homes that they built that they've, you know, had to obviously replace and renovate parts of. But they're still the original homesteads. You can see exactly how they lived. So I'm going there through there with Crash, and Crash is really young. And... we're in one of the homes. I'm in one of the rooms and I'm sort of looking through at him and he's standing there and he's having a very vivid conversation, with somebody I can't see. And I figure it's just another tourist, right? Cause people moving through there. I figure there's another tourist in the room. And he's just chattering away, talking. And you know, so I'm looking around the room and kind of, you know, half paying attention to it. And so finally I can't see half the room he's in, if that makes any sense, but I'm, you know, in this other room, it's a log cabinet and he's just chattering away. He's like, I don't know, five or six maybe. And so I finally, you know, walk through the door to see who he's talking to. And I figure it's, you know, probably just another tourist. There's no one there. And I was like, Crash, bud, who are you talking to? And he points, he's like, her. And I'm like, what? There's nobody there, bud. And he's like, yeah, there is. And I went, whoa. So I, you know, just for the heck of it, I Googled it later. Just very curious. If you Google about Cades Cove, those homesteads are notoriously haunted. And I'm by far not the only one who's had an experience like that with whatever they are, entities, ghosts, I don't know, who actually talk to you. So that gave me the absolute chills. And after that, we didn't go into any more of them. I was like, you know, let's get going. And we were totally alone. There was nobody else there, you know, inside the cabin. So that's my scary story for Halloween. Love to hear yours. 8 feet away from the cabin. I'm telling him, there's no one there, bud. There was no one there. Yes, he insists there was a woman there and he was talking to him.
Whether you're chasing kids around, sitting under Friday night lights, or enjoying a porch cocktail, we have one bit of advice. Look up. Here's Tommy Tucker on WWL Radio with what you'll see in the sky.
But the rest of it would just be solid rock.
What does it smell like, raspberry? Mars smells like raspberry?
The Milky Way.
Milky Way smells like raspberry. That's what it is. So let's talk about the Three-Eye Comet. What is a comet to begin with, and what is the Three-Eye Atlas?
Sure. So a comet is a mixture of ice and dirt and dust and other material that usually hangs out within our solar system very, very far away from the sun, where it's so cold that the ice is basically frozen solid. Mm-hmm. And occasionally...
Wait, let me interrupt for a second. Would this be akin to a big giant glacier moving?
through space or not really?
Yeah, kind of, except much dirtier.
Okay.
So a glacier is much cleaner, much more ice than a comet is, because comets are actually so mixed in with other material that they're quite dark. They're about the same darkness as black velvet.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a comet with Elvis painted on it?
I have not.
Okay. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
It would. Very impressive. So they look bright in the sky. Oh, you're fine. They look bright in the sky because sometimes when they come into the inner solar system, they start warming up, and then the ice starts to evaporate, and then that evaporated ice turns into a gas, and then that reflects light. And so we see the reflected light of the evaporating gas and dust, and that's why they look bright. But if you were actually up close next to one, they would be the comet itself, the nucleus of it, is very, very dark.
So how dense?
How, all sorts of other things.
How dense is it? Are we looking at something that is miles wide and composed of individual pieces that we perceive it to be one solid piece, or is it a bunch of different thousands and thousands of pieces that are just so far away that they appear to be one piece?
They're actually, at least the ones that we've gone to go visit, which are not so many, kind of one coherent chunk of ice and dust mixed together. So it is not a rubble situation, but they can break apart as they come closer to the sun. But they're kind of irregular blobs of ice and bits of rock held together. So they are kind of glued together by the ice. But they're not that big. They're sort of 50, 100 meters in some cases, but they don't tend to get miles across. They do tend to get, you know, 100 meters, something like that, but not enormous. It's just that they, when they start evaporating, they become, the tails of their evaporated gas do become large, and then that's usually what is most visible.
Not melt, but evaporate.
Yes.
Or is there a difference? Yes.
Well, so melting implies that it's going into a water-based state, and evaporating is turning straight into a gas. So we can, because of the temperatures involved of being in sunlight, there's so much heat there that the ice will do what we call sublimate and go straight from solid to gas and not really go through a melted watery phase. And then the gas is free to depart the body of the comet, and that's what we see as a tail.
So the gas is of no harm to anybody, right?
Nope, it's just hanging out in space.
So tell me the difference
between... And the dust is also not really of any harm to anybody, but it can give us interesting meteor showers.
About the comet and an...
So asteroids are mostly rock, and comets are largely ice, is the main distinction that we have.
Which goes to gas, but the rock stays rock.
The rock will stay rock.
Okay.
So we will. It will. What it will do as you bring a comet in close to the sun is you evaporate away all of the ice, and then the little pieces of rock and dirt and stuff will wind up getting loosed away, and so those get left behind in this little trail. So if you see these like Dennis the Menace kind of trails of where he's been. Comets kind of do the same thing with their dust and small bits of rock.
So as far as dangers to the Earth, a comet would never be a danger, would it? Or could it be?
I mean, the only situation in which a comet would really be dangerous is if it hit us directly. And then that would be a problem. But that's a problem no matter what is hitting us. And the odds of that are incredibly low.
Are the odds better for, not better, but what are the greater odds, for, even though they're very small, of a comet or a asteroid hitting us?
I think we're more concerned with the odds of an asteroid hitting. Not so much because it would be less damaging per se, but large asteroids, you can get quite large asteroids, and those are very destructive. And then large comets are a little bit more uncommon, and they also start evaporating before they get to us, and they're also less, just comets coming into the inner solar system is less of a common phenomenon, whereas we know there's a whole asteroid belt full of rocks hanging out, and so that's much closer to us, and so the asteroids are kind of a bigger hazard, generally speaking.
So where do we stand with what have we learned in the last year or two about space?
All sorts of things. I mean, if you want to stick on the comet theme, the interstellar comets are not so uncommon, is an interesting thing that we have learned. The very first interstellar comet was found in 2017, I think, 2019. And since then, we've found three, which is a lot for objects coming through our solar system, which is not so big. So that's pretty cool because it tells us that we should be able to spot more of them if we start being able to look for them more carefully.
Will you be dressing up for Halloween today?
I am dressed up for Halloween today, yes.
As?
I have a circle skirt that I have embroidered with the northern celestial hemisphere, so all of the stars that can be seen by eye are accurate in both size and position on my skirt. So I am the night sky today.
Are you wearing that as well? Are you wearing that too? That's two of us.
No. Well, good job on your embroidery.
Thank you. It took a while, but I'm going to tell you what.
I didn't know you had so many skills.
It is dead on accurate. I can guarantee you that.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Listen wherever you get podcasts and smash that subscribe button.